Welcome to Women Who Move Nations, a podcast by the Public Transport Association Australia, New Zealand.
Each episode, we interview a top female executive from the public transport sector in Australia, New Zealand, and around the world.
If you're interested in leadership, workplace gender equality, or building clean, green transport for the future, this is the podcast for you.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Women Who Move Nations, the public transport podcast. My name is Tabitha Carr. I'm the marketing specialist at Daimler Truck and Bus, as well as a member of the Emerging Mobility Leaders Committee. And I'm so excited to be your special guest host of Women Who Move Nations, the public transport podcast. Our guest today is Sue Chan. Sue has held an incredible career in the traffic and transport field. She has a passion for transport planning, strategy and policy, and a legendary reputation within our industry. I'm so excited to have this chat with you today, Sue. Welcome and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tabitha.
So I have been able to meet you briefly, and I'd like to take the opportunity today to get to know you a little bit better, and I'm sure that our listeners would like that too. So let's jump into our questions. The first question I have is a little bit more on the personal side, and I hope that's okay. But I would really like to know what your childhood was like, Sue. Where did you grow up and what were your aspirations?
Well, Tabitha, I was born and grew up in Malaysia. I was educated in Malaysia until secondary school level. And I went to Melbourne to do year 11 and 12. After that, I did my first bachelor's degree in Sydney, a Bachelor of Economics at Macquarie University. My parents are the ones who planned my studies because they want to make sure that I will make a good living. But actually, I wanted to be an artist. It is actually a cultural thing in Asia that children listen to their parents. Then, after I've completed my first degree, I returned to Malaysia and worked in the banking sector for 1.5 years. After that, I married to a Hong Kong guy and moved to Hong Kong and lived there since then for 20 years before I migrated to Australia less than 5 months ago. To answer your other question, my aspiration when I was younger, between the age of 20 and 30, was to gain experience in multinational organizations. As I like new challenges and new knowledge, I really love to be involved in international projects and work with diversified teams who have different backgrounds and skills. And then later in the years, when I've started to establish knowledge and experience in public transport industry, I began to aspire to achieve good results in my job. For example, to complete projects that can bring positive influences to the community. And now, after so many years of work in the industry, I wish to look back on my career and be proud of the work I've done and be proud that I've met, I've worked with, and I've learned so many great people around the world.
Wow, Sue, what a journey. You've moved all over the place and I'm sure some great experience you can bring to the PTA ANZ. I want to shift gears for a moment with the questions, and I do have a bit of a big one. So you became acting CEO of PTANS in August 2022. And I'd love to know a bit more about your priorities in this role and how do you go about maintaining that work-life balance?
Tabitha, for my first 3 months in the role, my priorities will include a lot of member engagement activities, as well as developing our events and training programs for the next 12 to 18 months. Thanks to my great team, especially my general manager of events and partnership, Cassandra. She has accumulated lots of achievement in the past 2 to 3 years in the successful events she led and delivered. And now we are working on a series of programs for our members. Some are actually quite innovative. So stay tuned on what we will offer in the coming months. I'm also working closely with the PTA ANZ Board of Directors and my team to develop a program that will support our members in achieving their public transport goals. We're about to start a period of member engagement to inform our services and activities going forward, and to make sure that we meet our members' needs and continue to offer them the best value for their PTANZ membership. I'm very excited to be involved with the transition of our association to the new brand. This is initiated by the board and my predecessor, Michelle Betters. It is an ongoing process, but we are so happy with our progress so far. And we have done the groundwork, and now we are building the processes and policies to empower the PTANZ team to best serve our members. Talking about maintaining a work-life balance, I really love to do painting and drawing to unwind. As I said earlier, I wish to be an artist, and obviously I didn't, but I do spend time on painting during my free time. I also love photography. I take photos almost every day and everywhere I go. The trees, the flowers I see when I take a walk, and the beautiful sunset I can see every day from my balcony. And I also take photos of the nice food we cook at home and when I dine out with my family and friends. So actually for me, happiness is so simple. I can find lots of joy in all these little things I do to bring balance to my life.
Fantastic. I love just talking about things that you do outside of work. And it's great to hear that it brings you so much joy and that you can create time for that. I actually studied art in year 12, so I'm really interested to hear more about that. And maybe we could catch up for a coffee and look at some of your art soon. I remember the other day you were showing us some beautiful paintings you've done. That's probably another reason why you like the new colours and branding of PTANZ, I guess. Is that right?
Yes, I really love all the wonderful colours that we have for our branding at the moment. Thank you.
Yes, it's so good to have something just a little bit different than the usual kind of, you know, corporate design. So yes, loving seeing that everywhere. So let's talk about your career journey. So we've touched on it a little bit, but you've been in public transport for over 20 years, from researcher to senior consultant at Booz Allen Hamilton. At Wilbur Smith Associates, you started as a transport planner and then became a director. You were a director at WB Corporate International, the head of Asia Pacific at UiTP, and now the acting CEO of PTANZ. What excites you most about working in the public transport sector? And I guess further to that, what keeps you motivated?
Well, it's a really a long story, Tabitha. I studied economics and was working in admin and finance at the start of my career. Then I joined the Hong Kong branch of an international consulting firm, Booz Allen Hamilton. I was the admin and finance officer, and I worked with a group of transport planners and engineers. And I was the only Chinese in that office at that time. Only a few months after I joined the company, the Australian office has won a big project. It was a passengers and traffic demand and revenue forecasting study for the Beijing Capital International Airport. As the only Chinese in the region, I was asked to help with the translation for the meetings and data collection. So when I was involved in the project, I found the interviews and communication with the client very interesting. And eventually, I accepted my superior's offer to change my role to a transport consultant. I was then involved in many interesting public transport studies, including an award-winning fare policy and ticketing study for the Guangzhou Metro Corporation, which has expanded their metro network from 2 lines to more than 10 lines using the fare model we developed for them. It was indeed a great achievement and encouragement for the project team. That was a time I started to fall in love in the work related to public transport. I would also like to mention a person who has a great influence in my professional growth. She is Dr. Pamela Nelson, my superior at the time I worked for Booz Allen Hamilton Hong Kong branch. Pam is actually an Australian. She has more than 30 years of international experience in the rail industry. And she has worked across a wide range of rail projects in both the government and the private sector, which are including the high capacity mass transit project in Hong Kong at the time she was based in Hong Kong. She's actually now back in Australia and is currently the project director for the light rail project in Canberra. I remember the time when Pam came to me and threw to me a booklet. It was actually about a master's degree in transport policy and planning at the University of Hong Kong. Pam encouraged me a lot and then supported me in getting a subsidy from the company to cover 70% of my very high cost fee. And she also allowed me to leave the office earlier, like twice a week, just to attend the classes. And she also taught me some very unique skills in transport analysis and gave me such a great suggestion on the topic for my master's thesis, which I've got a distinction at the end of the course. So I feel so lucky and grateful to know Pam, who was one of the people who has contributed to my career development. And Tabitha, to share more about what excites me about working in the public transport sector, I changed my career path from admin and finance to transport planning and consulting because I really like to deal with different people in different situations. Whenever I completed a transport project, for example, a feasibility study in building a metro line, creating a fare policy for a city, etc., I feel like I've achieved something and made a positive contribution to the community. I also love meeting people from different cultures and backgrounds. I really enjoy working with people from different countries. When I was the head of UITP Asia Pacific region, I was dealing with people from 12 to 13 different countries, and they have different backgrounds, languages, cultures, and needs. For some developing countries, it's about how to build the public transport infrastructure and to get funding to expand the public transport offering in their city. But for mature countries, the focus is more on how to expand public transport network and to improve customer service. I really enjoy bringing all the public transport stakeholders together to share knowledge, to exchange experiences, and to achieve their objectives.
Great. Well, firstly, let me say just congratulations on that amazing score you got with your course that you did. That must have been really hard to juggle at that time. And it sounds like Pam was someone that was really important to you succeeding and having that mentorship. I think we, you know, as young people, we often talk about finding a mentor. So that's obviously quite important, right? So you said that getting into transport, you loved working with different people and you worked with people across 13 different countries. That must take, you know, a lot of hard work and teamwork.
Certainly.
So I guess having that experience with strategy and planning, I'd love to know, how do you actually ensure that strategies are implemented and deliver results? I think sometimes we can spend so long on strategy topics, and it's something that we do a lot, you know, in offices these days, and we place importance on strategy, that it sometimes gets lost. So how do you actually, yeah, make sure they're implemented and deliver those results that you promise?
Well, Tabitha, to make sure that strategies are actually implemented and deliver results, we need to get buy-in from everyone, of course, including the board, the executive management, and the whole team. Everyone needs to know what success looks like. So at PTA ANZ, for example, we are using the OKR model, which is an objective key result model. This is actually a great idea suggested by our transition manager. So as a team, we talk about what success looks like. Then we map this to key results that can be measured. This OKR model helps everyone in the team know how their roles contribute to the strategy, including what they need to do to prioritize the tasks to complete and to avoid spending too much time on work that does not align with the strategy. So Tabitha, I agree with you that sometimes we can spend too long on strategy topics, but spending quality time on this is very important. After all, it cannot be assumed that if a strategy is documented, circulated, and launched, that everyone has the same understanding of it and knows what it means personally to them in delivering value.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Absolutely. So the important part is to get that buy-in from everyone and shape what success looks like, and then make sure that's filtered down right to the individuals.
Yeah, perhaps one of the reasons their strategy gets lost in larger company is that there is so much pressure to get the day-to-day work done.
Yes.
And that the strategy is considered as an add-on rather than part of the value-add work. So it might be viewed by the individuals in the organization that they will do the strategy work only after they have completed their business as usual work. So the approach for avoiding strategy topics being lost is to ensure that the purpose of the strategy in terms of adding value is understood across the entire organization and forms part of the day-to-day work. Therefore, if we want to deliver a strategy, we need to make room for changes to ensure that it stays relevant and matches the company's capability and capacity.
Right, yeah, that makes so much sense. So make room for strategy, basically.
Yeah, and yeah. Just to let you know that PTANZ has just released our interim strategy for this financial year and is now available on our website. It sets out our goals and priorities for the rest of the financial year and uses the OKR model that I just mentioned. And we are also about to launch a member value research. So we'll talk to our members about our value proposition to see if it meets their needs and to make sure that we're serving them as well as possible. We'll then use the interim strategy and member value research to formulate our longer term strategy. And we have such a great team, and I'm really excited to work with them to implement the strategy. So Tabitha, going back to your previous question on what keeps me motivated, I would like to add that working with my team does motivate me to do a good job. The PTANZ team works so well together, and I really felt so thankful for having such a good team. It's actually a very small team, but each of our colleagues has very special skills and capability. And they all have the motivation and passion to make things happen. This gives us confidence that we can deliver. So, you know, Tabitha, we don't really need a big team, but the right people to work together to achieve the association's objectives. What is more important is the strong team spirit that we have created. And I really love the way we work together in our team strategy meetings when we all discuss our issues and challenges so openly, and we share our new ideas so freely. I always like to give opportunity to my colleagues to unlock their full potential and to allow them to try to implement their innovative ideas. And at the end, okay, it's really okay to fail. Okay, we always say in Chinese that failure is the mother of success. So having experienced small failures can actually help people to cope with major challenges in the future.
If you're enjoying Women Who Move Nations, make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platforms and rate the show to help more people find us.
Follow the Public Transport Association Australia New Zealand to learn more about public transport and to keep up to date with all our events and activities.
Our website is ptaanz.org. We're also on LinkedIn. Just search Public Transport Association Australia New Zealand.
And our Twitter handle is PTAANZ_.
If you have any feedback or questions, please send us an email at info@ptaanz.org.
It sounds like there are big things coming for PTANs. So everyone, make sure you do go ahead and check out that interim strategy available on the website, as Sue mentioned. So that was a really good point about working with people. So let's move to our next question, which is about people and teams and trying to harness that. So you have connections in the public transport sector across our region, as well as Asia Pacific and all over the world. So Sue, tell me, how do you actually build connections with people in the industry, maintain those, and then leverage them when needed throughout your career?
Well, Tabitha, I built a lot of relationships as head of UITP Asia Pacific, where I serve over 200 members across the region. And my role was to provide membership services to all these members So I communicated with them actively to get them involved in our initiatives. You know, actually in Asia Pacific, it was so common to use WhatsApp, even with the executive. So through the use of the WhatsApp, I've made friends and communication with some members in the region. I also made lots of contacts from Australia and New Zealand as we try to involve them in Asia-Pacific activities at that time. And ANZ is sometimes considered as part of Asia-Pacific. So we involve them in our activities, especially the authorities and public transport operators.
So moving on from that, what are some key thought leaders you think Australia and New Zealand could learn from?
Well, I'm so excited that Alok Jain will be coming to Sydney and Auckland to deliver a zero emissions bus training for PTA ANZ in November. Alok held a few very high positions at MTR, the main rail operator in Hong Kong, and he was also the deputy operations director at KMB, which is the largest bus operators in Hong Kong. Alok is also a part-time lecturer at the University of Hong Kong. And guess what? He was actually taught me in the subject transport development, if I remember correctly, when I was doing my master's degree in transport policy and planning over 20 years ago. And so Alok is the perfect choice for collaboration on training programs organized by our association. I also keep in touch with some key contacts and experts when they retire or they change the job. For example, the former Dean of LTA Academy at the Land Transport Authority in Singapore and the former head of rail engineering of SMRT, which is the largest rail operator in Singapore. And they all have so much expertise and they are willing to spare some of their time to do trainings. So I hope that I can bring some of them to ANZ when the opportunity arises.
Wow, absolutely. We better keep an eye out for those events from P10s. I was just sitting here thinking how amazing it would be to be able to see that list of powerhouses in your contacts. I can imagine it goes on for days. Let's move on to our next question. I would like to take a step back and talk a bit more about your career, Sue. So what are you most proud of in your career? Is there a particular achievement or project you worked on that stands out?
Well, Tabitha, I can give you a couple of examples. So when I joined Wilbur Smith Associates, an international transportation consulting firm, there were a few people in the same position, and I was the only woman. At that time, I was the project manager, and there was also a project director. So for that project, we had to sign an agreement with the government with lots of requirements, including responding very quickly and to do public consultation with a number of district councils, and also to take the responsibility for all the results of our findings. At that time, the project director from the head office in the US, he was a bit reluctant to sign the disclaimer. And I volunteered to sign the agreement and take the risk. The project was completed very smoothly, and I was promoted 3 levels from associate to director of the Hong Kong office by the head office. I was proud of my decision to take the risk and responsibility, and I really enjoyed so much working with a team of all male engineers on the more than 1-year-long project. And actually now I still keep in touch with the team members and we all become good friends. Another example was also happened when I worked for the same firm. At the time, transportation development was booming in the Middle East. Our firm had big projects there, and one of the projects I can recall was the Palm Jira transfer projects, which is one of the famous artificial islands in Dubai. All these projects were completed after a couple of years, and there was no more work from the Middle East after that. So during that time, we had a team of 7 people from China and Hong Kong who work in the Middle East, and the head office wanted to lay off all of them. And at that time, I made a request to the head office to give me 1 year time to find projects, to retain these engineers. And if I fail, head office could decide what to do with them. And eventually, I've successfully expanded the market in China, Hong Kong, and a couple more countries in Asia to give these engineers projects, and I managed to retain all of them. That can be considered as one of my greatest accomplishments.
That is amazing. And just giving yourself that 1 year timeline, that is just so inspirational, and being very committed to your decisions. So before you moved to Sydney in 2022, you mentioned you were based in Hong Kong for around 25 years and then travelled around Asia Pacific, particularly to Singapore. You've already visited a number of cities in Australia. So what stands out to you as some key challenges and opportunities for the public transport sector here?
Well, I think a key focus in public transport in ANZ and around the world at the moment is adjusting to the new norm post-COVID. The pandemic has actually changed the passenger behavior, and people are working from home now, and they have concerns about taking public transport. So the trends have already changed. And we have to work on bringing back the passengers and to improve the services and create seamless journeys for them. And some of the key considerations are providing real-time and accurate trip planning information and offering integrated payment systems with minimal physical contact to passengers. It is also very important to provide very clean, safe, and inviting public transport networks to our users. And also all the while, the authorities and public transport operators are working so hard on developing integrated first and last mile connections to all the passengers. We are also about to release a report from a forum we held on transforming public transport. It contains the recommendation for how we can bring passengers back to public transport in Australia and New Zealand. And the report will be published on our website and promoted on our social media channels very soon. So make sure you're following PTANZ if you want to read the report. And I would also like to take the chance to thank my content and communication manager, Sophia. She's the one who takes the lead in this initiative.
Yes, well done, Sophia. I've met you a few times and you are just an absolute star at what you do. Interesting you spoke there, Sue, about those new requirements. I think obviously the pandemic's changed so much, but it's really interesting to understand what that actually means for the transport industry and how that shapes the future. So just picking up your points there about the focus being on clean, safe and efficient transport. And I think it's really interesting we spoke about that whole first and last mile topic at length at the recent PTANZ conference. So that's really interesting to hear as well, that that's top of your priority list. So I know PTANZ is planning a lot of industry events and initiatives for the next 12 to 18 months. Which one are you most excited about?
Well, Tabitha, something I'm really excited about is the Emerging Mobility Leaders Summit in Sydney, which will be organized by our Emerging Mobility Leaders Committee. And you are actually one of the team, right?
I am. I'm very excited as well.
Yes, I'm actually so impressed by you, Tabitha, and the other young leaders. You're so motivated, passionate, and so focused on your future. And by being on the committee, you have been putting so much extra time in your career to build extra skills. And you also plan and implement the activities for your peers. So I really want to help all of you to achieve your goals in the public transport industry. And I know very well that the PTANZ board directors are so committed to that as well.
It's really great to hear. So it's been such a great experience, just that opportunity to broaden skills and get to know other people in the industry, because that's the reason it was set up, right? There wasn't really anything that existed that you could go to and meet people from all different aspects or areas of the public transport industry. So we're very excited about that upcoming event and continuing the work that we do with the committee. On that, and something that might really resonate with our young professionals listening in today, so what do you think is different now for young professionals compared to when you were early on in your career?
Okay, well, when I look back to when I was in my 20s, my colleagues and friends and I, we spend our spare time socializing, going to movies or restaurants. And I don't think we were as motivated as the young professionals I've met through the Emerging Mobility Leaders Committee. But also, on the other hand, when I think back to 20 years ago, when I was studying my master's degree, I was working very, very hard and I traveled a lot on projects. At the same time, I needed to take care of my four-year-old elder son while I was studying part-time for 2 years. And then actually in the second part of my studies, I got pregnant again. So when I attended my graduation ceremony, my second boy was only 2 months old. So it was really tough at that time. But he will actually turn 20 years old next month. And he's a very smart young guy with very nice personality. So when I look back now, I don't know how I did it all. And I think it's really a good lesson to women, especially that if we want to achieve something, it is a matter of determination. If you believe you can do it, you will.
I love that, Sue. Absolutely. It's definitely one of those things that you kind of don't think about. And then you realize that, you know, potentially you want to have children or do that as a female, but trying to make that work with all the aspirations you have in a career can be difficult. So it's really great to bring that to the top of the conversation. So it's such an amazing opportunity for myself to be able to host this episode of Women Who Move Nations. The show has had so many inspiring women like yourself, but I'd love to know from your perspective, are there women that you look up to professionally or have been mentored or inspired by?
Tabitha, I can think of an outstanding lady. Her name is Natasha Zulkifli. She's the founder of Women in Rail in Malaysia. I'm very impressed by her passion to form this association and to encourage, help and support the women in this business that is really very male-dominated. When I first met Natasha, I was starting my role as head of UITP in Asia-Pacific, and she was the first woman I met among all the members because, you know, leadership in public transport in Asia was so male-dominated. And I remember when the first time I met her, she was dressed in all red and white. She was so pretty and so confident, and she was very passionate when she spoke about her company and the work she was doing. So I really think that she's a great leader and a role model for women. When I met her, she was working for a transport authority, and then she went to different roles from working for a transport authority to public transport operator, and now with a multinational organization. And eventually, she founded the Women in Rail Malaysia. Women in Rail Malaysia is an independent non-profit organization established to promote equality and diversity in the Malaysian rail industry. And the association provides networking opportunities to its members and also promotes assisting or create new opportunities for women to gain the access to rail industry's relevant education and employment. Well, we'll be inviting Natasha to be our guest for Women Who Move Nations. We'll be hearing more about her experience in a future episode.
That's great. I can't wait to hear from Natasha about all of her experiences and what she has to share. So I'm definitely out of time now, but I wanted to sneak in one last question. What are the key pieces of advice you would want to give young people who have just started their career?
Well, Tabitha, there are two things that I believe are important. One is to keep learning. You know, the world is changing all the time, so we want to keep pace with the social changes. And if we're willing to learn, we'll be able to achieve success and happiness in life. Another element I think is very important is to stay positive. In my career, I've seen some positive people who are willing to accept criticism or failure. Once again, I would like to stress that it's okay to fail because we'll all try to make improvements. And Tabitha, there are lots of unexpected things can happen in life. But if we stay positive and believe that we can achieve something, it will happen. It's just a matter of time.
I love that. That's a really good way to wrap this up. So to recap on that, we need to keep learning, we need to stay positive and be not afraid to fail, right?
Absolutely.
So I'd love to continue, but we're going to have to wrap it up there. Sue, it's been great speaking to you today and hearing about your impressive career and everything you've learned along the way. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insight. Bye for now.
Thank you so much, Tabitha. It's really great to be here with you today. And last but not the least, I would like to say a big thank to our podcast producer, Dylan, for planning and developing all the unique podcasts. This is the 38th podcast I'm on now, and there will be many more to come. Thanks so much for your great work, Dylan.
That was Sue Chan, the acting CEO of the Public Transport Association Australia New Zealand. I'm your host, Tabitha Carr, and you've been listening to Women Who Move Nations, the public transport podcast.
Thank you for listening to Women Who Move Nations, the public transport podcast. This series is produced by Dylan Adler and Sophia Dickinson for the Public Transport Association Australia New Zealand. To find out more, please visit our website, ptaanz.org. Tune in for more soon.